With Strickland, the sexual appetite took a very small place. It was unimportant. It was irksome. His soul aimed elsewhither. He had violent passions, and on occasion desire seized his body so that he was driven to an orgy of lust. But he hated the instincts that robbed him of his self-possession. I think even he hated the inevitable partner in his debauchery. When he'd regained command over himself, he shuddered at the sight of the woman he'd enjoyed. His thoughts floated then serenely in the Empyrean, and he felt towards her the horror that perhaps the painted butterfly hovering about the flowers feels to the filthy chrysalis from which it has triumphantly emerged. I suppose that art is a manifestation of the sexual instinct. It is the same emotion which is excited in the human heart by the sight of a lovely woman, the Bay of Naples under the yellow moon, and the entombment of Titian. It is possible that Strickland hated the normal release of sex because it seemed to him brutal by comparison with the satisfaction of artistic creation. It seems strange even to myself when I have described a man who was cruel, selfish, brutal, and sensual to say that he was a great idealist. The fact remains. He lived more poorly than an artisan. He worked harder. He cared nothing for those things with which most people make life gracious and beautiful. He was indifferent to money. He cared nothing about fame. You cannot praise him because he resisted the temptation to make any of those compromises with the world which most of us yield to. He had no such temptation. It never entered his head that compromise was possible. He lived in Paris more lonely than an anchorite in the deserts of Thebes. He asked nothing from his fellows except that they should leave him alone. He was single-hearted in his aim, and to pursue it he was willing to sacrifice not only himself, many can do that, but others. He had a vision. Strickland was an odious man, but I still think he was a great one.